Welcome to Ringside with Arif Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I'm back, and I am, of course, Arif Dean, your Avalanche beat writer for Colorado Hockey Now, podcaster for Mile High Sports. I'm coming to you guys live from Detroit, Michigan. For those that follow me on Twitter, for those that have been listening to the latest episodes, it's been about 3 weeks, and man, does it feel good to be back. I left Denver on November 10th or 11th, I think. November 11th, I left Denver. Actually, November 12th, because I covered the game on November 11th that the Avs played. I left the 12th and came to Detroit, got married on the 17th, went on a honeymoon, came back from the honeymoon, Thanksgiving. Now I am in the process of getting back to Denver, but because the Avalanche are on a road trip, I'm going to stay on the East Coast, meet the Avalanche in Detroit on Saturday, and then come back home. So it has been a wild month for me. I have kept up with pretty much all things Avalanche while I was in Cabo on my honeymoon, sitting in the water, watching them light up the Florida Panthers, only to turn around and get lit up by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Watched as guys like Nichushkin and Drouin came back from injury, and then Drouin is back to being injured, along with Miles Wood, who came back. He was hurt when I left, came back, played some games, and left before I even get back to covering games. Obviously, Josh Manson, Oliver Shillington, scoring a goal. Finally, now he's injured, was day-to-day, now he's been upgraded in the wrong way to week-to-week. Ross Colton making his way back, joining the Avalanche on the road trip that starts tomorrow. So a lot has happened, but usually when I like to do these episodes, I like to talk about the games. It's the day-to-day grind of a regular season. It's not an 82-game regular season, it's 82 one-game regular seasons. That's how an NHL player sees it. If a team needs to win 10 games in a row, they don't think about winning 10 games in a row. They think about winning tonight, and then they can focus on the next one. Because when you take it step by step, it feels better. And I love to cover a season step by step. Even though in the grand scheme of things, you know, before the trade, Justus Annan letting 3 goals on 6 shots against the Washington Capitals, for example, or getting chased by the Tampa Bay Lightning, that's a problem on that day. That's not a problem in March and April. It might be if you're fighting for a playoff spot and you needed 2 or 3 extra points in the standings, which might be a thing for the Avs this season. We'll see. But in that moment, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the year, I should say. But in the moment when it happens, it is a story. And that's how I usually like to cover games. That's how I usually like to deal with the podcast. But because it's been so long since you've heard from me, I want to take this more in a broader approach. I want to discuss some of the big storylines around the team, the state of the team, where everything is at. I haven't seen Jared Bednar or any of the players, like I said, since November 11. I missed 4 games at Ball Arena in this last 3 weeks. It was Washington and LA before the wedding, and then it was just recently the two that they played. It was the exciting 2-1 shootout victory of the Vegas Golden Knights, followed by the tough loss against the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, sandwiched in between was the loss at Dallas as well. But in terms of home games, I've missed 4. But we'll be back, obviously, in time. December 12 is the next Avalanche home game, but I will also meet them in Detroit. Well, they'll meet me in Detroit because I'm already here in 5 days for that game before I head back to Denver on Sunday. So I'll be back to covering practices on Sunday, December. Well, they'll be still on the road, but I'll be back to covering games and morning skates starting December 8, and then we'll go from there. So what I've seen from afar. First off, we're going to start with the most obvious topic that I've seen from afar, and it is the waking up to a text message early Saturday morning. The Colorado Avalanche ship Justus Annunen, all the many pronunciations, but they send Justus Annunen to the Nashville Predators along with a 6th-round draft pick for 32-year-old backup goaltender Scott Wedgwood, who's under contract for this year and next. And boy, do I have thoughts, and I'm going to try to limit how many of the thoughts I share simply because at ColoradoHockeyNow.com, we have about 10 or 15%, and we, as in myself and Colleen Flynn, 10 or 15% of our content is behind a paywall. And this was one of them, my thoughts on this trade, just because of the immensity of what this trade means for the organization, even as just a backup goalie position. It required the extra talk. So I went ahead and I did that, but I did it from a podcast, or sorry, from a paywall setting, and I gave my thoughts on what I think the Avalanche should do moving forward. And here is where I've landed. I also wrote something this morning, Dean's Daily, where I talked about why they traded Eustace Annenen. But I'm going to target this from both. I'm going to start with Scott Wedgwood, and I'm going to move to Eustace Annenen, the once thought of as the goalie of the future. So starting with Wedgwood, it says a lot to me that the Avalanche went out of their way to get a goalie who's under contract for another season after this. We've seen the Avs continuously do this thing where you got a stopgap, you got a band-aid, we're going to claim Prosvetov off of waivers. 2021, we're going to trade for this Jonas Johansson guy, he's a pending UFA, and he may or may not stay. He ended up staying a season, then he went on waivers, and he left, and then he kind of came back, and then he left. We're going to trade for Devin freaking Dubnyk. We're going to trade for Keith freaking Kincaid. We're going to get all these stopgaps. Chris McFarland said enough is enough. It reminds me of when he acquired Casey Middlestat, granted the goaltending situation when it comes to the backup role, aside from when Pavel Francouz has been healthy, which if you remember was 2020, skip a year, 2022, 2023, that's it. Aside from those, every single time they didn't have a Francouz with a Grubby, with a Kemper, or with a Georgiev, obviously Kemper had Frankie. They had goaltending issues. So this has gone on a lot longer, but it reminds me a little bit of the number two center thing where it was like, oh, you know, the Avalanche are going to move on from Nazem Kadri because Alex Newhook's ready. Then Alex Newhook suddenly wasn't ready. So let's elevate JT Compher. Well, JT Compher is a pending UFA. JT Compher just left. Let's go out and trade for Ryan Johansson. Well, Ryan Johansson's not working. Let's think about the options. Sean Monahan, pending UFA. Adam Henrique, older veteran, pending UFA. Let's get these stopgaps. And Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic stopped dead in their tracks and said, F this, I'm done. With this constant change and turnover, I'm done with the stopgaps. I'm done with the uncertainty. Let's ship off one of our gold standard young prospects slash developed players in Bowen Byram and bring in Casey Middlestat, sign him for 3 years. RFA at the end of the season, sign him for three more years. There's your number two center. We're not thinking about it anymore. Casey Middlestat's struggling right now, and that's something I wrote about in my Dean's Daily as well. But we don't need to think about this anymore. And this trade screams, we don't need to think about this anymore. Scott Wedgwood is not Ivan Prosvetov. Scott Wedgwood is not Devin Dubnyk at the end of his career. Scott Wedgwood is not Eustace Annenen getting called up in January of 2024 to hopefully look good so we can hopefully have a backup goalie and stop with the Marc-Andre Fleury and Jake Allen rumors a year ago. Scott Wedgwood is an NHL-capable backup goalie who's going to be exactly that. He's going to give you roughly 900, maybe 905, maybe 910 goaltending. Yeah, could also be 895, but for the Avalanche, that's a step up. He's trusted to play games. He can give you a third of the season. That's what he did last year for the Dallas Stars, who, if you all recall, eliminated the Avalanche, went on to the Western Conference Final, and got two games away from the Stanley Cup Final. In fact, they had a 2-1 series lead on the Edmonton Oilers. That's what the Avalanche are getting in Scott Wedgwood. They're getting a backup goalie who is a backup goalie. They're not getting a backup goalie who might be a tandem goalie. They're not trading for Alexander Georgiev as the backup to Shesterkin, but he's got potential to be a starter. They're not trading for Philip Grubauer who was sharing the crease and a backup to Braden Holtby, but he's got potential. No, they are trading for a 32-year-old guy who's a freaking backup goalie. But that's what they wanted to address right now, backup goalie. So I've heard a lot of people talk about, and understandably so, well, this isn't the band-aid that you need. Georgiev's had struggles. The starter has had struggles. Well, the reality is the starter at least can give you five or six good games before he shits the bed again. The backup was a constant issue. Eustace Annenen played 9 games this season. He started 9 games, appeared in 11. He started 9 games for the Colorado Avalanche this season. 6 of the times that he started, he played against teams that did not make the playoffs last year, were nowhere near the playoff picture. 3 of those times, he played against teams who made it to the playoffs a season ago. The 6 games against bad competition, Eustace Annenen won every single one. The 3 games against good competition, teams that made the playoffs a year ago, the Washingtons, the Tampa Bays, and the Nationals, and Nashville, now his current team, Yes, they struggled out of the game. They're still struggling, but that's a talented team. That added talent after missing the play, after making the playoffs last year. He lost to Nashville in a valiant 60-minute effort, but that's the only time you could say that. He let in 3 goals on 6 shots against the Washington Capitals and got chased. He let in, I think it was 3 goals on 5 shots against the Tampa Bay Lightning and got chased. And then he came back in the third period against the Lightning and let in 2 more goals. He couldn't handle strong competition. Last season, it was the same thing. He shut out the Chicago Blackhawks twice. He beat the bad teams. But he got lit up by the Tampa Bay Lightning last season as well, which I think was like January or February of 2024, maybe March. That was what they had in Anninen. If you remember in the beginning of the season when the Avalanche were dealing with all their injury issues and Val Nichushkin is suspended and then Drouin gets hurt and then Colton gets hurt and then this guy gets hurt and Miles Wood gets hurt and they miss Arturi Lehkonen for the whole season. Gabe Landeskog, we thought it was actually a thing, and now it's looking like a, you know, more of the same of last year where we just don't know if this guy's ever going to play or when he's going to play or what the deal is. It was all piling on. But what did we keep talking about? We kept talking about, you know, even when the Avalanche started 0-4 and then they won 5 straight games and they were 5-4 and then they're, you know, get a couple games above 500, back to 500, a couple games below 500, they were 6-8, back up to 13-10. Even throughout all of that, all we kept saying about the Avalanche is at least the early season part of their schedule is all easy competition. At least they're not playing a lot of playoff teams. That's what allowed them to play the backup. That's what allowed them to use Eustace Annenen against teams like Seattle or San Jose or Utah or Anaheim and win some freaking games. But now it's looking the opposite. Now you're going to play a lot of good teams. Yes, you got the Buffalo Sabres on this road trip. Yes, you got the Detroit Red Wings on this road trip. But on Thursday, you got Carolina. On Sunday, you have the New Jersey Devils. Missed the playoff last year, but that was a little bit of an aberration. You got the Pittsburgh Penguins. You got the Nashville Predators. You got the Vancouver Canucks. You have a lot of strong teams coming to town, or you're playing against a lot of strong teams. You got the Winnipeg Jets on New Year's Eve. God help you there. That's going to be a tough one. You're playing a lot of good teams. You cannot run Alexander Georgiev into the ground like you did last year, like you did the year before. It just cannot happen again. They need a backup goalie that they can trust to play against a team like the Nashville Predators and hope to win the damn thing. They cannot keep trotting in and out there against good competition and losing those games. So in Wedgewood, you get a guy who you can trust. Is he your starter? Absolutely not. But that's not the issue that you're addressing now. Right now, you are addressing the backup goalie who can only beat bad teams, who you are hoping develops into something, who you gave a 2-year contract extension to last year, hoping that you can get a bargain deal. Just like the Ryan Johansson experiment, you realized it ain't going to work. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. Tomas Tatar didn't work. Jonathan Drouin did. Great. Evan Rodriguez did. Miles Wood kind of did. Now we'll see. You win some, you lose some. The goaltending didn't work with Eustace Annenen. It didn't work with Ivan Prosvetov. It didn't work with the waiver wire. It didn't work with the homegrown kid that you thought was going to be the future of your goaltending. Wedgewood gives you stability. Yes, he's 32, but for goaltending, it's young. For goaltending, that is not a big deal. Scott Wedgewood was born in 1992. Sergei Bobrovsky was born in 1988. Sergei Bobrovsky, over the last 4 years, has been to 2 Stanley Cup finals, and he's led a team in a separate season than those 2 Stanley Cup finals to a President's Trophy. That's what a goalie age 32, 33, 34, 35 can do. It is a very, very common thing for goalies to be good between the ages of 31 and 36, 31 and 37. They're not necessarily over the hill, like you would say about a skater. Wedgewood is 32 years old. He'll be 32 for this entire season. He'll be 33 for the entire next season when he's still under contract with the Avs. You have stability there from a guy where you know what you're going to get. The Avalanche addressed that issue, and they got it completely done. The other problem with Annenen was his relief appearances. Last year, if you remember, I think it was either the Pittsburgh Penguins or it was the Nashville Predators. There was a game where the Avalanche got lit up early. Georgiev was chased from the crease. They brought in Eustace Annenen, and he shut things down, and the Avalanche made a comeback and won the game. This year, he was not doing that. This year against the Vegas Golden Knights, Eustace came in, I think when it was 5-3, I want to say, and then the Avalanche made it 5-4, and then he let in 2 goals on his first 5 shots. They couldn't win that one. Against the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Avalanche trailed 3-1. They pulled Georgiev early in the second period. They brought in Justus Annunen. They quickly went on to score 2 goals in the home opener, tied the game up at 3-3 before he even faced the damn shot. First shot he faced was a goal. Fourth or fifth shot, I forget exactly, shot that he faced was another goal, and the Avalanche were right back down to being in a 2-goal hole. He was not able to help in relief. And that was why, after the 0-2 start where Georgiev got chased twice, Colorado and Jared Bednar, and I saw the comments on Colorado Hockey Now, I saw the tweets coming through. People were enraged. Why does he keep going back to Alexander Georgiev? Because I truly, genuinely believe, despite Georgiev getting chased twice, the goalie that did more damage to his rep with the coaching staff and his trust with the coaching staff was Annunen, who came in relief both times and played like crap. He was unable to be trusted to come in relief. He was unable to be trusted against playoff teams. Played 3 of them, got chased twice pretty damn early into the game. This is not a bash Justus Annunen session. This is not a this guy sucks session. This is just the reality of a playoff team. It's kind of like the Alex Newhook situation. Alex Newhook could have a long, successful NHL career and could be a star in this league. Granted, he's dealing with injury issues in Montreal. But where the Avalanche are, where the Avalanche were at the time where they made that move, they could not trust to have Alex Newhook develop under their belt when they're in the prime years of Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, and Mikko Rantanen, where they've got Devon Taves locked up long-term and Val Nichushkin locked up long-term and Arturi Lehkonen for 3 more seasons and all of these pieces and hoping to get Gabe Landeskog back. They have Sam Girard. They got Josh Manson. They are in a win-now mode. They cannot wait for Alex Newhook to develop. They could not wait for Justus Annunen to develop, if or when they develop. They needed to make a move. They got a 32-year-old goalie who you can trust this year and next year. And if Annunen goes on to win somewhere else in the future, you see it all the time. Connor Ingram took him a bunch of years. Calvin Pickard still in the NHL. When the Vegas Golden Knights selected him in the expansion draft, we all thought that was a huge deal. Then he bounced around. I don't think he ever even played for Vegas. He went on to waivers. Toronto got him in and out of the league in the AHL. Suddenly, he's a backup goalie for the team that made it to the Stanley Cup final, and he had to play in the playoffs and won games for them. So it might take some time for Justus to figure it out, and he might. He might not, but he also might. But the Avalanche just don't have that time available to them right now. They need to get a guy in here that they can trust as their backup, and that's what they're doing with Wedgewood. Now, the bigger question about that is, what happens with the starting position? Again, I don't want to delve too deep into it because if you go to ColoradoHockeyNow.com, I wrote full on what my thoughts are about that part of the conversation. The part of the conversation that includes what happens from here with Georgiev, but it's behind the paywall. And not only is it behind the paywall, it's one of those things where we are running a sale right now at Colorado Hockey Now, 50% off a year's worth of subscription. It's a $19.99 rate, $19.99, $20 for an entire year. You can get that on Colorado Hockey Now. All you got to do is go to the article titled Dean's View, Wedgewood's Deal Signals More to Come for the Avalanche. It's obviously an opinionated piece. There's no sourcing to it, but I give my full thoughts on what I think is going to happen. The long version is in the article. Pay the $20 a year. Get this article plus all the other paid content that you'll get from me. There's also a really fun exclusive article I did about Sam Girard back on November 5th, the 7-year anniversary of the Matt Duchene trade, but I did it from the Girard angle, the pieces that the Avalanche got in that deal. So that's what you'll get all for $20 a year. The long story is in the article. The short story is, last year the New Jersey Devils were fed up with their goaltending. They went out and got Jake Allen, knowing very well they weren't trying to make Jake Allen their starter. They were addressing the situation of the backup goalie before handling the starter, which they tried to trade for last year and eventually traded for in the offseason in Jacob Markstrom. I think the Avalanche are inching toward going down that road because what you have in Wedgewood isn't a tandem goalie. He's not a Pavel Francouz. He's not a guy that can share the crease with a Georgiev. He's a guy who was a clear backup, so the team needs a clear starter. Is Georgiev that guy? He could be. He's done it before. Does the team trust for him to be that guy? If they don't, then they're going to have to go out and get that guy. Go to ColoradoHockeyNow.com. You'll get my full thoughts on that. Last thing I want to touch on is the injury situation, the injury updates, the long list of injuries that the team is dealing with. Jonathan Drouin is back to week to week. Oliver Shillington, like I said earlier, upgraded to week. And then you have Miles Wood, who's out month to month. That one's going to hurt because that's a guy that I wondered if the Avalanche would trade this season or maybe in the offseason. That's still a thought that I'll have, and I'll share my thoughts on that eventually during the year, maybe in the offseason. But the injuries are catching up to the team again, and the reason why they're being felt is because Nathan MacKinnon has 3 assists in his last 7 games. I don't believe he's scored in the last 12. I can double-check that, but he's struggling. And the worst part about Nathan MacKinnon struggling, Nathan MacKinnon is allowed to struggle. He's allowed to go through ruts because he is the reigning MVP. He's one of the best players in the world, and he has been absolute dynamite, especially earlier in the season, carrying this damn team on his back. And despite him struggling, he's still 4th in the NHL in points. He has a good couple days. He's back to 1st and leading the NHL in everything. So MacKinnon's allowed to struggle. The problem with MacKinnon struggling is it's happening at the same time that Casey Mittelstadt has completely fallen off a cliff in the month of November. 15 games, 5 points, 0 points at 5-on-5. He's got 4 power play points, and I believe the last one came with the empty netter that he assisted on. He doesn't have a single point in 7 games. He's playing 20 minutes a night over the last 5, and the most mystifying part about all of it is this has started to happen after Nichushkin, after Lehkonen, and after Drouin got healthy and then injured again, where Mittelstadt was playing with better line mates than he was at the beginning of the year, where it was a whole lot of O'Connor or Ivan or Kiviranta or Callum Ritchie when he was still up. No disrespect to any of those guys, Nikolai Kovalenko. But it's not the guys that he got now. So Mittelstadt started the season with 13 points in 10 games. And now he's got 5 in the last 15. So you start to feel the injuries when your number one star center, who carries the team on his back so often, starts to struggle. And even more so when your second center in Casey Mittelstadt is also struggling. And even more so when Ross Colton's out and that's your third line center. You're ultimately getting zero production. Parker Kelly doesn't really put up a lot of points. Ivan does. He gets some goals here and there, but he's been in and out of the center position. You're not really getting any production from up the middle of the ice, and that's the biggest issue right now. MacKinnon's going to find his way out of this. By the time you're hearing this, if it's Tuesday, he may have already found his way out of it Tuesday night. But you got to get Casey Mittelstadt going. If MacKinnon and Mittelstadt are going and you still have Mikko Rantanen and Val Nichushkin and Arturi Lehkonen, that's a hell of a lot more than you had in the beginning of the season when you won 5 straight, when you went 7-2 in a stretch of 9 games. That's depth. Even with Drouin out, even with Ross Colton out, and obviously he's coming on the trip. He might play at some point. He might play in Detroit. If Mittelstadt can figure it out, this team will feel a heck of a lot better. Losing Josh Manson also hurts. I got some opinions on the defense. I'll share that for another episode or for ColoradoHockeyNow.com as well. But that's where the Avalanche are right now. Starting with Buffalo on Tuesday will be 11 games in 20 nights, which is another reason why I think picking up Wedgewood was a smart decision when they did it. Not what they did, but when they did it. Because I saw Jared Bednar this season many times, and especially after that Tampa Bay game, and especially after the Tampa Bay game coming after the Washington game. Obviously there was that Philly game sandwich in between that Anonin won for the Avs, but Bednar was losing trust in his backup goalie. It was going to be another one of those situations like last year where he runs Georgiev into the ground because he's got no other options. I don't know if it was because of his pressure, but Chris McFarland said, I'm giving you an option. Do not play Georgiev 10 or 11 times in the next 20 nights. Scott Wedgewood gives them that option. It's going to be a crazy stretch of hockey from here until New Year's Eve when they play the Winnipeg Jets. But with that, I'll put a stop right here in the show. I'll catch up with you guys after that game against Buffalo, and we'll go from there. We'll see how the Avalanche do. Like I said, they got the Buffalo Sabres. And then I think after that, the very next game is Nashville or Pittsburgh. Let me double check. Carolina, sorry. No, it's a tough one. You got an easier game in the Buffalo Sabres, not by any means a guaranteed win. Then you got the Carolina Hurricanes. Then you got the Detroit Red Wings on Saturday, Sunday at New Jersey, Tuesday at Pittsburgh. A lot of hockey coming up for the Avs. Between December 3rd and December 10th, they're playing 5 games in 8 nights. So I'll catch up with you guys after those games. We'll see how the Avs do. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty heart. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out ya.